Now our pastor Lane Stockton.
Well, it is good to be in God's house today. What a wonderful, wonderful service we've had so far. Choir, you sang great. Quartet did a good job singing. All those that were here for the baptism, thank you very much for your cooperation. Getting that many in and out was thought to be a little bit of a difficulty, but it worked really well, and they did great, and we appreciate them helping us with that. We got back from camp and had a good time at camp. Up there at camp, there were 16 young folks that got saved this week at camp, so what a blessing that was. And a couple of those was from our group, and we're thankful for those that gave their life to Christ, and we're trusting that they will grow in grace, and that one day the Lord will be able to take them and use them to be able to reach out with the gospel to someone else. That's what it's all about. You can't get the gospel and keep it for yourself and hide it in your heart and not share it. It doesn't do you any good not to share it. You share it with others, the good news of Christ, and Lord, help them to grow up and be able to do so with what happened in their heart, may be able to share it with someone else. It's good to have visitors here with us this morning. We have visitors from all over the place this morning. We're glad that you're here. Good to have some of you that have returned. You visited before, you come back, and you wanted to spend some more time with us. We're glad that you're back. We're glad that many of ours that have been on vacation are back. And next week, we have a couple of more families that will be going out on vacation. So I'll pray for them as they travel. We'll be in 2 Kings this morning, 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter number 6. What wonderful news was given to us today by the orange. Thank you very much for that joy. Proud for y'all and glad for you. We're praying for you. Another child brought into this world, be able to be brought up and nursed in the admonition of the Lord, to give God an opportunity to use in a great way. All right. 2 Kings chapter 6. Thank you, everybody's there. I'm glad to have all of you here. 2 Kings chapter 6. We'll be in verse number 1. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 1. The Bible says there, and the sons of the prophets said unto Elijah. Now, who's Elijah? Remember, Elijah followed Elijah. Elijah did, I believe it was 8 miracles, and Elijah asked for a double portion, and Elijah ended up doing 16 miracles, if you study it out. And my numbers are correct right there. So Elijah followed the prophet Elijah. Verse 1. Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us, or it's too small for us. Verse 2, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. Verse 4. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick, cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Verse 7, therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. It's quite a unique miracle that just took place. I don't know if you've ever worked with an axe or an axe head, but it's made of iron and it's relatively heavy. It does not have a tendency to float, as we saw in the first portions of this here read, that the servant was chopping down a tree. As he chopped down the tree, the axe head fell off, which is not an uncommon thing. If you work with an axe and you chop with it long enough, the head will loosen off from the wear and the tear and the bang and the impact. and it will become loose. And every now and then you may have to put a larger spade inside to hold it tighter. May have to add a second one. But you have to do something to keep it from getting loose. Now Elijah was visiting the school of the prophets. So it has some young men that had surrendered their lives to be prophets and to work for the Lord and to publish out the Word of God, the law of God. And Elijah came by to visit with them, and the number of students had been began to grow, and it came to a point that it outnumbered the actual place where they were staying. That's where it says here, the place where we dwell with thee. With there is too straight for us. It became too small there. But the workers were willing to go into the forest and to get materials. The Bible said it called it beams there, or logs or trees, and cut down the material and began to work at building a new place. And I tell you, that's an amazing thing there. We're lacking servants in our churches today, willing to work. And the servants saw something that was not good for them. They were too crowded. They were closed up together. The servants saw a need. And this is the important thing you need to understand. They owned the need. You know, many times we can see a need. We see there's a problem. We see there's something that needs to be cared for. Perhaps somebody is sick. Somebody is ill. Say, man, somebody needs to go visit that family. If you see it, why not do it? Own the need. Oh, man, that bush there, it surely needs some hedging. It needs some trimming. If you see the need, own it. Oh, man, the bathrooms are lacking toilet paper. You see the need, find the toilet paper. Put it in there. Never amazes me every time my boys or any of my children, matter of fact, they go get a shower and they don't open the inside closet and look to see if there's a towel. The next thing you know, they're slopping, dripping wet with their head sticking out the door, screaming through the house, "Somebody bring me a towel!" They'd have just checked beforehand, they would have had a towel. The prophets here, the sons of the prophets, not the prophet, the sons of the prophets, they noticed there was a need. They came to Elijah, they said, "Elijah, go out into the wilderness, raise some money, build a new school for us, and let us have a bigger place that we might learn the Word of God." That's not what they said. "Let us go," verse 2. "We pray thee unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell." And he answered, "Go ye." Church, if we see a need, we are all workers and laborers together. Nobody else better to handle the need than the first one that saw it. The very first one. Because this is the thing. If we wait till somebody else gets around to doing it, somebody else usually does not ever get around to handling the need. It's left undone. And then what's happened? If it's left undone, not cared for, it gets worse. The problem grows, and things begin to deteriorate worse. And so the prophets here, they saw that there was a need, and they saw that they needed to take care of something. They asked Elijah, "Hey, can we go and do this?" He said, "Yeah, go." And one of them said, "Be content," verse 3, "I pray thee, and go with us." And he said, "Yeah, I'll go with you." So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down the wood. Listen, another thing I noticed from here, this is not part of the message, this is all introduction. We'll get to the message in a minute. This is just some things I noticed as I read this. When they got to the place where they were going to work, they did not talk and commit and have a committee meeting once again. They got busy. Do you see the need? I'm going to go do it. Just get busy. There's no need getting on Facebook and texting and tweeting and calling and getting a group together. Listen, dear friend, it doesn't take a whole lot of unction or juice behind you to say, "Hey, this bush needs to be in a rectangular shape." Get in a rectangular shape, get busy, and go on about your business. We procrastinate a lot. We hinder a lot by procrastinating. Get busy, just do it, and do a great thing there for the Lord there. But we noticed that there was one gentleman, as he began to cut wood and began to cut near to the river's edge, that something happened. The axe head got loose. He was busy, but he didn't maintain himself. Let me tell you something, dear friend. You can get too busy that you do not maintain yourself. He didn't maintain his own tools. And this is the thing about the tool. The tool did not belong to him. The Bible says he borrowed the tool. The axe head represents power. Have you ever tried to cut down a tree with just a limb? I mean, you get the limb and you begin to beat it, or just the handle of the axe and you begin to beat. Listen, you'll be there for a long time beating down a tree. The axe head represents power. It represents strength. It's a tool to use. And he was busy. He was active. He was even close to danger. The water's edge is a dangerous place. Sometimes you can slip and fall. And he was there. He was working. And then he reared back to hit it one time. And when he hit it, the axe head fell off into the water and went down into the bottom of the water. And he was troubled by it. May I say this morning, if you have not noticed the power of God on your life and it doesn't trouble you, you're in trouble. It bothered him. He had an axe head that he had borrowed. Do you realize the power that you and I have is borrowed power? I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Some of us don't have enough power with God to blow the fuzz off a peanut. And we're not bothered. We're not troubled that we have lost the power of God in our life. Elijah said this, where fell it? Here's the question for us today. Where fell the power of God from your life? This guy knew exactly where. It's here. You know what our problem is many times? We just stay busy. We're ashamed that we've lost the power. We just keep beating with the stick. We keep beating with the stick. Boy, sweating, crying, everything. We're bruising the tree. We're beating the tree. We're beating ourselves up. How many of you have beat yourselves up over sins that have lived in your past and been in your past for ages now? Repentance is to be had, and the power of God is there. Where fell it? I think we can all agree on this morning, that the world is in trouble. I mean, look around us. You think about it. Everything is going upside down. I mean, there's greed. There's crime. There's violence. Innocence being taken out of the mom's womb. Marriages that should not be even so are being had today. The world's in trouble. And it seems as though we put a finger in this hole over here. We put a toe in that hole. And then somebody else comes along and puts... Have you seen that stuff they got at Lowe's or Home Depot that you spray it and it's supposed to seal up a leak? I mean, and somebody else comes along and they spray the hole, and before we know it, our toe's stuck in the hole. We can't even get our toe out to go to work because we're stuck to the hole, and somebody else reaches over this way. Have you ever played that game growing up, Twister? You have this big old map and there's dots everywhere, colored dots, and I don't remember the whole thing, but I know that if somebody spins something or flips something and a red dot comes up and I have to step on the red one and somebody else has to step on a yellow one, and before long, if you're going to do it, you're all tangled up like a bunch of pretzels. That's how we're looking in this world, church. We're poking holes here. We're filling this gap. And we're so tangled up and twisted up that we can't even mobilize for the gospel of Christ. Because we're plugging everything up. The world is in trouble. I'm here to tell you the world's in trouble. But the world's not the problem. Do you know what ducks do? What's the sound that ducks make there, Haley? Rock, what's the sound a duck makes? Tell me.
Tell me, Christopher.
Quack.
Quack. Ducks quack. Please tell me, somebody, what's the sound that a dog makes? One of you, right here, Cleo, what's the sound a dog makes? Sarah, tell me. Woof. 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 Quack. Woof. Quack. Woof. Quack. Woof. Why does ducks quack and dogs bark? Because a dog is a dog and a duck is a duck. Why do sinners, lost people without God, the Holy Spirit of God living in them, live in sin? Because they are sinners. Don't be surprised if your neighbor sins that is lost and doesn't know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, especially if you who have Christ in your heart have not shared the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with them. They're going to continue doing that. Because that's what sinners do. Lost people are alienated from God. We look out at this world, the world's in trouble. It's Congress's fault. From the last thing I know, somebody told me there was less than 40 Christians in Congress. How many total congressmen do we have? 435? Is that right or wrong? No, just Congress. We'll get to them crazy senators in a minute. I'm talking congressmen. Less than 40 of 435. What's the ratio? No wonder Congress is crazy. No wonder they do wicked stuff. No wonder they do things that are ungodly, because they're lost. We as a nation have left the keeping of a righteousness to the lost world, and we got what we have left it to. But they're doing what they do. They do exactly what they do. Put on top of that, 100 senators. And a vice president who can vote with whoever he chooses to. If there's a tie. I would say, and I'm not sure, I'm not God, but I would say that there's probably less than 10% of our senators who may know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. They're doing what they do. They're lost. And lost people do what lost people do. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 3, if you will, real quick. Romans chapter 3. In verse number 10. There is an indictment against mankind that we have to understand that if all of these things were in our life, if it was not by the grace of God, we would be in very serious trouble ourselves. Right. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10. But ye which were some, some time ago, and some of you in your very near past, without Christ, you know how messed up you can get. The world's in trouble, but the world is doing what the world is supposed to do. They don't shine lightness. We got to let our light shine. Amen. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says, as it is written, there's none righteous. No, not one. That includes the ever Baptist pastor that ever lived. That includes ever Baptist deacon that ever lived. And that includes ever pope. That includes ever president. That includes ever king. That verse is all inclusive. Amen. For all have sinned. There's none righteous. No, not one. Verse 11. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit, and poison asper is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Don't get mad at Hollywood for making the movies. They're lost people. Quit watching them. Save people. Make a choice. Hollywood's going to do what Hollywood's going to do because they're lost. This is an indictment against mankind. Let's read on. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, verse 15, their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. The world's in trouble. Church, I'm telling you, the world's in trouble. The world system is in trouble. But that's not the problem. The problem is not the world. God did not leave the world here to go into the world. The Lord Jesus Christ left His church and started His church and His earthly ministry. And He said, I send you forth. The problem is not the world. The world is just doing what the world's going to do. And we as Christians have allowed this world to have free reign without standing up and saying, I'm going to be the stop. Here's a question for you. We can't forget there's serious crime in the world. We can't. We cannot forget that there's AIDS and alcoholism and abortion and sodomy and fornication and thievery. We can't forget those things. We can't forget that there's the march of pornography throughout our land. We cannot forget those things are in our land, dear friend. But we need to get to the point where we look at us and we say, there is a serious problem in this world. But how's my light shining? Where fell my power? Was I chopping just a little bit close to the danger zone? And when my power fell off, it went off into the world because I just walked a little bit too close to the world. I'm here to submit to you that the forest is full of trees. They went out into Jordan, into the plains of Jordan. There was trees everywhere that guy did not have to be cut near to the water's edge. He made a choice to cut near to the water's edge. Dear friend, you don't have to live where you live. It's your choice. You don't have to blame your mama. You don't have to blame your daddy. You don't have to blame your cousin. You don't have to blame society. You have made a choice to live where and how you live. And you have that freedom. And I thank God for that freedom that I enjoy in America. But I tell you, dear friend, just because you have that freedom does not mean that you do not own the consequences of your life. You own them. They're yours. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. We need to get back to the basics. We need to get back to the basics of life and understand that we need to return back to God. If we want to change in our society, it cannot begin with my whole Sunday school class. It cannot begin with the entire choir. It cannot begin with all the quartet. It must begin with one person. We use other people as an excuse not to draw nigh to God. God desires for a corporate drawing to Himself, but He says, draw nigh to me. He's speaking to an individual. We as individuals have to draw nigh to God. How many of you would say to me this morning, if I was to ask you out loud and open, Pastor, I started my Christian walk well. I used to be on fire. I used to be thirsty and hungry for the things of God. Pastor, I used to be excited. I used to be joyful about being in the house of God around the things of God. But something has happened in my life. Where fell it? Only you know. Only you know at what point you got a little too close to the water's edge and your power, that borrowed power, has fallen off into the water. Where fell it? The man was still capable of working. The man could have went on and he could have, listen, he could have put down his axe head. He could have grabbed logs and began to carry logs and limbs where they were supposed to go. I'm sure they were piling them up. I'm sure that there was some place that they were putting them into a sawmill that they was going to cut the bark off. He could have started another job. He could have brought water. He could have got a bucket, dipped the water down in there, and would begin. All that's fine, and all that's good, and it's needful, and all that is right to do. But his job was to fall the limbs and the trees to the ground so somebody else could do that. And I'm going to tell you, dear friend, when your job is not accomplished and what God has asked you to do, the next person cannot do their job. No man lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. What I leave off and leave undone hinders the rest of the line. Think of it with me for a moment. We haven't had cars built in our state. I don't think so. I don't think there's any factories in Florida that built cars even in the past. But up north where they had these car factories and everything, and all these assembly lines and the motors come through and different. If the next item is a head that is to go on that block, or the next item is a water pump that's supposed to go on that block, if the water pumps are not there, if they're not ordered in, if they're not built, if something happened to the supply, the motor doesn't move on. It stops the entire assembly line. We're failing to power. Only you know. Only you know. How do I know? Are you lukewarm about the things of God? Are you lukewarm? What's the reason for decline in your interest in the Word of God? Go with me to Hebrews chapter 5. We're almost done, church. Bear with me. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter number 5. Church, we need revival. We do. Our nation needs revival. Our church needs revival. My family needs revival. But revival must begin with me. Revival must begin with me as an individual. And I've got to figure out where fell the power. Where fell it? Where is it at? What happened in my life? Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 12, the Bible says, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles, the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by the reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Where fell it? Why are we going back and having to relearn the lessons of basic training in the Word of God? Why are we back to drinking milk when we should be eating strong meat? We're failing in your life. We've got to do some soul searching. I've got to look at myself. It's time that we start looking inward. Judgment must first begin at the house of God. We can have no change in this world, in our society, if our churches are upside down. We can have no change in our church if our families are upside down. You can have no change in your family if you are upside down. It all begins with individuals. Chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto the perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Church, we've got to get to the point where we just quit growing old and start maturing in Christ. It is something when all of us have the ability to own 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 20, 25 Bibles and been saved 10 years and still have no knowledge of what baptism really is and cannot explain it, cannot go to Scripture and show somebody what baptism is. Of the laying on of hands, you see, Oral Roberts laid hands on, be healed. Find it in the Scripture. You can't. The fervent prayer of a righteous man, and God shall heal. Not man. Not man. We have to go back and reteach all these. You know why we're not making a difference? It's like we get to sixth grade and we graduate back to first grade again. We grow, we grow, we grow, and then somebody or something don't go our way, and we get mad, we throw a temper tantrum, and all that that we've learned, we're back to square one again. I'm talking about God's people now. Forget the world. We've agreed already the world's in trouble. We've agreed already that congressmen and senators are in deep trouble. We know that the Supreme Court is in deep trouble. The world's in trouble. That's smoke and mirrors, dear friend. We don't look up at Washington when we ourselves are not being obedient to the Word of God. We want to point the finger at the Supreme Court when we ourselves don't follow the simple principles of the Word of God. You know how, listen, this is vital. You know how all men shall know that you are my disciples? How? Tell me. It's in there. It's here, church. We're so concerned with all the outside world when we ourselves have lost the power of God. We're failing. Preach, I don't know what to do. I know, I realize in my own life, I'm going through the motions. I'm in church for, I don't even know why I'm at church. I'm just here in church because that's what I've been trained to do. I'm like an old dog. You can't teach me new tricks. I was born, got saved, and for 12 years I just went to church every time the doors opened. Now I don't care if I love God. I don't care if I love things about the Bible. I don't care about song. The singing this morning didn't move me. The baptisms didn't refresh me that somebody else had trusted Christ as Savior. I'm just here. I know I'm just in the motion. We're failing. The amazing thing about that verse over there in our text, Elijah said, we're failing. And he grabbed a stick. And I started thinking about that stick. And I know it wasn't a cross stick. But where's our power? As New Testament believers, our power is in the gospel and the cross of Christ. And he threw that cross off, that stick off into the water. And the Bible says that it began to swim. Have you ever? Brother Gary told me he caught a flounder this week. Have any of y'all ever caught a flounder fish? A flounder, you know, look like a little flat thing. Looks lay on the side, crazy looking thing. Eyeballs all on one side. Like a mat, you're trying to riddle it up, and they just fight back and forth, and it feels like you're pulling in nothing. Just something holding on. And it swims kind of sideways. Can you imagine as that man began to see that piece of iron swim? And Elijah took it, and he gave it back to the same man that lost it. Church, we have a God of second chance. Third chance. Fourth chance. He'll give it right back to you. He wants you to have the power. He wants your light to shine. He wants you to be the salt of this earth and the salt of this world. He wants you to have your speech seasoned with grace. Where fell it? Preacher, I know. Just floating along through a stream. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I know that. We must get back to the cross. When I say this to you, there's room at the cross for everybody. Not one time in my entire life
have I ever waited in line to talk to Jesus. Not once did I call up to heaven in my prayer life and talk to Jesus and get a busy signal. Not once did I say, it's a press one for angel language. He says, son, what do you want? What do you need? Where did you lose your power? Get to Jesus. He'll get you back on track. And He'll give it right back to you. He'll put it back on your axe handle and you can get back to work. Here's the thing. Learn a lesson. You don't have to always cut so near to the danger line. This Bible is our guard and our protector. Our shield and our buckler is God. Back on up. Get in the forest. Get in the thick of things. Preaching, there's thorns out there. There's difficulties everywhere. Preacher gets thirsty out there. Yeah, I know. It's easy to get down in the water. But in this instance, the water represented danger. He lost his power. He lost his power. The world's in trouble. But I can guarantee you this. The next vote they make up there in Congress, Senate, and the Supreme Court is not going to remove God off His throne. But I tell you what, you let a church get lukewarm on God and we put Jesus outside them doors and He's not going to get in. We're worried too much about Tallahassee and Orlando and worried too much about Washington. We're not worried enough about our own selves and our own church. We get on fire for God. And I'm going to tell you, the New Testament church in Acts, the very first church, it turned the world upside down. Because they were united, they were in one accord, and they had the power of God in their life. Let's stand our feet.